Please be seated. I realized as I said this is the gospel of our Lord that it didn't sound too much like the gospel, even though it did come from the gospel of Mark. But we're going to talk about that a little bit. This week I was reading a fascinating article on rituals. Research has shown that performing a ritual before an anxiety-producing task helps to decrease that anxiety. Rituals surrounding losing someone or even having a loss that's not that significant, like losing a gain, helps to quell that grief. Rituals could be tied to religious beliefs or they could be completely non-religious. The non-religious ones we tend to call superstitious rituals. The bottom line is that many rituals deeply affect the humans that are participating in them in a positive way. Some rituals that have been especially meaningful to me include things like birthday parties where you have a cake with completely lit up by candles, or reciting certain prayers and singing certain hymns when I'm anxious. In fact, our prelude today is one of those hymns that I tend to sing to myself, the words of the 23rd Psalm to that tune in anxious times. And of course, worshiping with the church that has both a Sunday liturgy as well as an annual and yearly liturgical calendar is a ritual that's very important to me. A ritual that I participated in yesterday, one that's been developed and organized by colleges throughout the whole U.S., is Freshman Move-In Day. Right? It's designed to make new students feel like they are a part of the community, and it's also intended to help parents feel less anxious about leaving their precious children at a place that they are no longer away from home. Another ritual that came to mind as I was preparing this week is the service of Reformation Sunday. The acknowledgement of the Reformation and of Martin Luther, coupled with singing A Mighty Fortress, is exactly why I ended up in this church to begin with. I was seeking out Lutheran community on a day that celebrates Lutheran heritage. So you see, rituals are important for human beings. They make us less anxious and can even bring us together and make us feel part of a community. And that is where we meet the Pharisees and the scribes in the reading from Mark today. In Jewish custom, there was a ritual around washing hands before a meal. This was not about washing germs off one's hands. This was a ritual completed even on physically clean hands. So when the Pharisees and scribes were chastising Jesus about some of the disciples having unwashed hands, they weren't talking about basic hygiene. They were concerned with ritual cleanliness. It's easy from our American Christian viewpoint to say, well, what's the big deal? We might even be thinking that this was their way of buying favor with God or showing off to others who weren't part of the community. And in some cases, maybe part of that is true. But remember, these Pharisees and scribes understood that being God's chosen people was an immense gift, and the laws had been passed down were also a gift, an extremely important gift for helping them to live in the way that they thought God wanted them to live. We hear this in the lesson from Deuteronomy. For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am settling before you today? Following the laws were a way to keep their focus on God and on justice, while also keeping their culture, community, and identity alive even in the midst of Roman occupation. Not following the law could lead to an existential crisis for the Jewish people. But there is also the more personal side of the laws, including this hand-washing law. The ritual of washing hands reminded those who did it that even the mundane, eating a meal, can be a sacred act. How many of us say a prayer before our meals, what we always called grace when I was growing up? This is an act of inviting God's presence in the meal, as well as giving thanks to the Creator for the food and community present at that meal. I think it is unlikely that we say grace at a meal to earn salvation or to show off to others. And it is an important ritual that brings the family together and reminds us of our connection to God and to all of God's people. When Jesus is calling out the Pharisees and scribes, it is not because the rituals in themselves were wrong or bad. It was about certain Pharisees and scribes holding on so tightly to certain rules and laws, they were forgetting about the most important part of being God's chosen people. The part about caring for the poor, liberating the oppressed, and loving all of God's creation. They were forgetting about Micah 6:8, the call to seek justice and walk humbly with God. Rituals are important. They can provide comfort, identity, community, connectedness, and even boost self-confidence. But rituals can be problematic if the ritual itself becomes so important that it keeps us from doing the work of justice, or if we use it as an exclusionary tactic. The intent of the laws that the early Jewish community followed was to make a way for life to thrive, life of the individual and life of the community. The intent was not for the law to exist for the sake of itself. Further, we know that laws are often perverted by those who are in power to allow them to stay in power, or to provide some measure for deciding who is in and who is out. And this is what Jesus was pointing out. Jesus, in responding to the critique of the Pharisees, makes two major points. First, he directly addresses the Pharisees, accusing them of being hypocrites because they have interpreted certain rules and used them in ways that don't honor other statutes from God. There are several verses in this chapter of Mark that are actually left out of the lectionary that give some specific examples that Jesus used in terms of what he considers hypocrisy. The second point that he makes to those who are gathered, which he makes again later on to his disciples, counters the idea from the religious leaders that eating with unclean hands or eating unclean food will make the eater unclean. Jesus wants to make it clear to all who will listen that being unclean of heart is more significant concern than taking in foods that are unclean or eating with hands that are unclean, because what goes in through the stomach goes out into the sewer. But what is in one's heart stays. Verses 17 through 20 are left out of the lectionary, but I wanted to point out that the very end of our reading that we just heard is no longer to all of the crowds, like it seems to sound like as we read it, but is to Jesus' own disciples. And as often the case in Mark's gospel, the society's disciples need a little more explanation. Jesus is reiterating that it is not enough to worry about remaining clean by following certain rituals and procedures, because the most unclean practices are rooted from within us. We can see that Jesus' criticism is only partly focused on the religious leaders. He spends much, much more time in this chapter criticizing human nature. There is no doubt that humans can do tremendous good and demonstrate much love towards others. But we can also participate in the list of bad behaviors that comes in this reading. And of course, there are many other types of behaviors that can be added to that list. The real issue is that we are imperfect human beings who sometimes get it right and sometimes don't. And we would all do well to remember that and look into our own hearts and see how the inside is reflected outwardly in how we interact with the world. It's like that verse in James' lesson today that sums up his whole letter, "But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves." I know that Martin Luther was not a big fan of James's letter because he feared that it would lead others away from the strongly held belief of justification by grace. But the reality of it is James makes a really good point. When we hear the word of God, when we learn about the sacrifice that Jesus made for each of us, we must do something in return, not because it will buy us a place in heaven and secure our salvation, but because doing something is the appropriate response to such a gift. We know that our acts will not save us. We know that we will never be pure enough to earn a place in heaven. And this was the radical news that Jesus was pointing out. The laws and rituals are not evil, and if they keep us focused on a loving God and the knowledge that the kingdom of God is near, then that is good. But if they don't, or if we twist them to suggest anything else, then that is the problem. Every day we should be doers of the word, sharing the love of God with our communities, working for justice, feeding the hungry, comforting those who need it, caring for those who are ill, and the list could go on and on. There is much that we could do. We don't have to do it all, but we should do what we can. That is what it means to be a church that follows Christ. We don't do these things because they earn us points with God. There is no point system with God. Our salvation was secured about 2,000 years ago on a cross. We do these things because they are the best way we have to respond to God's amazing gift of life, and the best way we have to keep our hearts focused on the love and grace of our Lord. Amen.